Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Farah. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm a romance writer. I live in Toronto. About myself personally, I guess I'm married with two teenage kids. I've only been writing for five, six years. And I'm really, really excited because I love that I get to write happily ever afters. I'm a romance reader first. So I'm just thrilled with this new job of mine.
I love this. So talk to us about your romance journey. When did you start reading romance?
So I think I probably started reading romance. I mean, it took me a while to realize that the stuff I was reading when I was a kid was romance. I was reading teenage category romance, I guess you'd call them. Mm-hmm. They used to come out a lot in the 80s and even back in the 70s. And I used to read them when I was maybe 8 or 9 years old, as opposed to when I should have been reading them when I was a teenager. And I read those, like, I inhaled them. I moved on to, like, Sweet Valley High and then other, and then as I got older, I kind of drank that Kool-Aid that adults should be reading adult books. So I stopped reading romance, but I was always drawn to romantic stories and historical things that had strong romantic plots. Of course, I absolutely loved Jane Austen ever since I was a kid. But then I didn't really get into proper category, like not category, but proper genre romance again until I was in my 30s. And then once I got into it, I just started reading everything around me again. And then I decided to try writing one.
I love this. And so I too was a Sweet Valley High reader and a category romance reader, I think. And I didn't realize that was romance until like actually 4 or 5 years ago that I was reading romance, or was reading mainly romantic love, strong love stories.
Yeah.
Stories. I just thought it was like, oh, it's just chick lit, or what I was reading, adult reading, or or historical fiction. So
totally. Yeah. I think a lot of it, I don't know if it was for marketing reasons, but especially in the 90s. I mean, I'm in my 40s now, but especially in the 90s, there was a lot of books that weren't necessarily marketed as romance, the chick lit books, Bridget Jones' Diary and whatever, but they really were romance, and I love those books. I really inhaled them. I love the fun voice. I love the women with their own agency. But then if somebody had asked me, oh, do you read romance? I'm like, no, of course I don't.
Yeah, I was like the same way. I was like, it's just chick lit, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, I just love reading Jane Green, living in London, being a single girl, falling in love.
Totally, yeah.
So, yeah, that was a good market, that niche. So what was the moment you decided you want to become an author?
So this is one of those weird things, because I think in the back of my head, it was something I always wanted. I used to like have a journal and a diary when I was young, and I was always writing in it. And I remember when I've had several careers. I have a tendency to change my mind often, but I remember when I was actually working in human resources, and I was working with my boss at the time. The two of us were co-facilitating a workshop on career development and career planning. And the first question to kind of prompt the participants to get to like an icebreaker was, what is your fantasy job? And without even thinking, I said, I think my fantasy job would be working from home as a writer. And everybody else, so this was in the fashion industry, I used to work as human resources in the fashion industry, and everybody else's fantasy job was something like buyer or personal shopper, things in the industry. And here's me saying, I think I want to be a writer. And everybody looked at me like I was kind of funny, because it was so not what I was working at the time. But that was the first time I actually said that out loud. And then it was another good 10 years, maybe a little bit less than 10 years, but many years before I actually started writing. And I was just afraid to kind of put the pen to pencil, so to speak. I think because it was that you never want to have that fantasy. I don't know. I felt like if I started and I didn't, it wasn't what I thought it would be, then I would be, that fantasy wouldn't be in my head anymore. And it would be kind of like broken. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this. And so what was your journey to get to publication?
So like I said, I just one day decided to start writing it. And it was because I was reading so much and these stories wouldn't leave my head. So I just started writing one day, and I didn't really look into a lot of career planning, or I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. One thing I did right away when I started writing romance is I joined Toronto Romance Writers, because I've always been, if I've ever had something I'm interested in or something, I like to surround myself with other people with similar interests. So I joined Toronto Romance Writers right away. And it was interesting because the very first workshop I went to was about the path to publication, how to get an agent, what's a query, what's a synopsis. And I didn't know any of that beforehand. So that was very timely that was my very first introduction into the romance world, was basically how to get into the romance world. So when I finished my book, I just went through the motions. I started querying it. I was completely rejected, wrote another book, started querying it. So I just, without really thinking about where I wanted my career to go, I just went through the motions of what I knew the process was. And then I think it was the second book I queried was Trifactor, which ended up being my debut. So I ended up querying it through a Twitter pitch party, and then I got an agent, and then we went on submission, and then the book sold. So it was a pretty straightforward, but I didn't really plan it, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does make sense. I think it's just like, I think it's a process, you know, it's not this linear. It's just like, you just take the next right action. I think, you know, yeah. Whether it's like joining Writers of America or just querying or trying to query different ways. It's like, you just take the next right action, and whatever comes up, it comes up.
Exactly. And I think maybe because I hadn't been writing that long, I wasn't that attached. I don't want to say I wasn't that attached to my manuscripts, because I was, but I wasn't that so attached that I wasn't willing to, okay, that didn't work, next idea, and just keep working at it, basically.
Yeah. So what has been the process of writing during the pandemic?
Oh, it's been challenging. I especially found it incredibly challenging at the very beginning of the pandemic. I think the entire world was going through heightened anxiety, and I already had anxiety. But that March, April, May of last year was incredibly hard for my family, and all the kids were home, and I was stressed, and health issues, and trying to write lighthearted rom-com during that was challenging. And I did end up finishing a book during that period, and I don't think the book suffered for it, but it was just a lot more concentration on my behalf, on my part. The book is exactly the lighthearted rom-com that I wanted to write, but it was really, really hard to get into the headspace of it. Mm-hmm. Since then, it's been a little bit easier to get into the headspace, but I have a lot more distractions with my whole family being here all the time, which I'm not used to. And so I think on one hand, it's been challenging, but on the other hand, I'm so, so super grateful that I have that work to do, because I think if I didn't have something to keep me super, super busy right now, then my mind would just start racing, and it would be even harder to live through this, what are we calling it? These unprecedented times.
Yes, I would tell you, I'm tired of living in unprecedented times. I was like, yes, a time where there was like nothing crazy was happening.
I know.
So your book actually dives into one of those pandemic hobbies that people took on during living at home, which is a sourdough starter. Mm-hmm. So do you actually have a sourdough starter, or was it something you just like realized that that's something your main character, your heroine?
So I used to have a sourdough starter. I found it hilarious that the pandemic got everyone making sourdough. When I was editing a book that was pretty much about sourdough. And I was like, this is either going to do really well, or people are going to think I wrote this very quickly. But I don't actually have a starter anymore, but I used to. I'm, like I said, with careers that I change careers often, I also change hobbies often, and I always go in head first. So for a while I had several sourdough starters and I was baking bread with them every other day-ish. And there were several starters, and one of them was one that I mail ordered that had been like from the Oregon Trail, like it was like hundreds of years old. So I was totally obsessed, and I went into it head first. But eventually the upkeep just became too much. And as soon as you stop baking that often, the sourdoughs, obviously you need to maintain them, and I didn't keep it up. And it wasn't until after I stopped keeping up the starters that I wrote the book. So I thought it was funny. Like I stopped with the starters. I'm like, okay, so maybe I'll just write about them instead of actually keeping the starters.
I love this. And it just like it fell with the time. So what other hobbies have you taken? I'm like a person who loves to take new hobbies. So
Yes. So and again, I always jump in head first. I've
yeah.
knit, like knitting, quilting, sewing. I used to sew my own clothes all the time. And I actually once for about a year did this challenge where I was sewing a dress a week for a year. Which I thinking back, I think what was I thinking? That was pretty crazy. So sewing clothes, quilting, what else? Cooking I've always done. That's something that I've never waned, but specifically bread baking for a long time. And then video games, reading. Of course, now writing started out as a hobby, but now it's my job. But I'm always looking for something new. I just actually bought one of these little tiny miniature kits to make the little miniature rooms.
So what kind of room are you creating?
It's actually the one I ended up buying is a little tiny greenhouse. And the reason I bought the greenhouse is I'm currently editing my YA debut, which is coming out later this year. And it's very much about plants and gardening. So when I saw this little miniature greenhouse, I really, really wanted it. And it's kind of modeled after the greenhouse garden in this book.
I love this. Oh my gosh. I love chatting hobbies. So, all right, so let's talk about Accidentally Engaged. What was the source of inspiration?
So the inspiration for the book, so in my debut, The Chai Factor, the main character Amira has a best friend Rina, and Rina is then the main character in Accidentally Engaged. So the character came to me when I was writing Chai Factor, but technically, actually, the character came to me even before that. I have a really old first draft that didn't get past two chapters, and that was really the beginning of Accidentally Engaged. I had this idea of a woman entering a cooking contest where she had to film videos, and her neighbor helped her with the videos. And I had originally intended that he would help her with the equipment, but then I ended up changing it around. So that the idea of her being a food blogger came to me a long time ago. But then when I started actually sitting down to write the book, I knew that this character, I knew her family had to be involved because of what happened in Chai Factor with this character's family. Oh, excuse me. And I knew that she deserved somebody amazing. Like I couldn't just pick a guy and make it work. I needed to create somebody worthy of Rena because I always loved the character and I thought she deserved it. Because of her family and her family's interference, I decided to have it so her parents are trying to set her up with someone. And then to try and then to stick a fake engagement in a arranged marriage plot. I'm like, that sounds interesting. So I basically just kind of threw everything in there. But I think the original first inspiration was to write a story about a food blogger.
I love this. And so we deal with some recipes, food contests, and all the different things, logistics with it. And so, what kind of research did you conduct? Like, whether getting the recipes or ideas, or like, that whole food content?
So I didn't do a ton of research food-wise in the book. It's interesting. Somebody else had asked me once, where did you come up with the recipes for the book, or where did you come up with the foods that she cooks? And then I thought about it, and I'm like, there's nothing in there that's not something I've made before. So like I said, I used to bake bread right very, very often, and I cook a lot. So there's very little research food-wise. That's all stuff I've made before. And food, so I have a friend who's a food blogger, and I read her blog and I watch her work and I watch her take care to take pictures and the editing and all that. So I've always been kind of interested in that. I've never thought about being a, like starting my own food blog or being a food blogger, but it's kind of something that I've been curious from the outside of. Mm-hmm. But I did used to have a sewing blog, so I know what it's like to kind of to be in the public eye for your hobbies and things like that. So I liked that part of it. So there wasn't a ton of research. I mostly got most of it from my own experiences.
Oh my gosh, and you had a sewing blog?
Yeah, I did. Back when I was making a dress a week, I had a sewing blog. I actually just pulled it recently because I didn't want, I mean, nobody read it. It wasn't all that popular, but the care I went through to make every dress fit, and then I would take pictures and it was actually a really neat community because people would comment on what alterations would need to be made on the dresses to make them fit better and things like that. So it was a really neat kind of collaborative approach.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I love, you know, to be honest, I'm someone who has had multiple blogs, and so I, based on my hobbies, so I can identify it. I'm like finding a kinder spirit is like a different
hobby. Yeah, I feel like I should have like a shirt that says ask me about my hobbies sometimes. And I do intend to put more of my hobbies into my books because I mean, yeah, that means I have less research to do, but it's also like we become hobbyists because we're total nerds about that thing. And there's nothing I love more than talking about bread or sewing or knitting or any of the things that I love.
Yes, I love this. I think it just makes the person more interesting. You know, I picked up hobbies because at the time I was in a funk. I was actually living in New York and I was just like in a weird space. And I was like, I don't know what I want to do with my life. And I don't know how it was mentioned and how the seed came about. It was like, just find a hobby. Find something you like, you know. And so for me, it was like fitness classes, cooking, reading, journaling, like every single thing would be like something, you know. And then just trying to make it a hobby out of it. So
totally. Yeah. And that's exactly it. When you're in a funk, you can find that one thing. And I don't want to say it makes you tune out the world, but being able to hyper-focus on something that you're creating, or even if it's not something you're creating, a video game or something, but being able to hyper-focus on one activity kind of helps deal with everything going on around. And I think that's kind of why the bread baking took off, because it gave everybody something that they could control and something they could focus on. So because the world was not worth focusing on at that moment.
Yeah, it just eases the anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it quiets the mind in some sort of way that you just allows yourself to just be, you know, and have a little bit more fun. So,
yeah.
So tell us about your YA debut.
So the book is called Tahira in Bloom, and it's coming out I don't have a date yet, but it'll be the end of 2021. By Skyscape. And I'm super excited because, again, I got to add a bit of my hobby in it, although a little bit less. So my main character, Tahira, is actually a fashion designer. So I did pull from my experience as a sewer, but I never designed anything. She's actually a designer. She's a teenage fashion designer who has these huge dreams and is very focused on achieving them. And then she ends up having to spend a summer in this teeny tiny town where everybody's obsessed with gardens and gardening. And she ends up falling for her next door neighbor, a teenage boy who designs gardens and is obsessed with flowers. And I pitched it as a cross between Netflix's Big Flower Fight and Schitt's Creek. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of fish out of water, city girl out in the country kind of story. But it's more about her realizing what's important and realizing that she has control over what she wants to do with her life. Which is really neat to write from that coming of age time where you're just kind of discovering who you are. And I'm enjoying tapping into that part of our life. For me, it was so long ago, but just to kind of get back into that mindset.
I love this. I love coming of age stories or just give you kind of like it just reminds you of a simpler time where you're just like, you're really, so like, it's an amazing world.
Yeah. And like I said, I have two teenagers, so I'm surrounded by teenagers. And I also mentioned that I have had many careers, and for a while I was working with troubled teenagers. Mm-hmm. And so I was in a classroom setting with kids that had different emotional problems and mental health issues and issues, drug use and school achievement. But I found that what I love about that age, I mean, I love teenagers, and I'm one of those weird people that if I could hang out with anyone, I would pick teens over kids any day. But one of the great things is that the a lot of people think teenagers are overly dramatic and overly emotionally invested in things that don't matter. But in their brains, they just haven't developed further than that. And the things that we think don't matter to us means so much to them, and which is totally valid. So you're able to get into that. I don't want to call it angst, but when you're writing a story, you're able to things that if I was writing an adult one, I'd be like, okay, she shouldn't be focusing too much on that. That doesn't matter. But with a teenage, you can focus on little things, focus on the emotion, small emotions and big emotions. And I love that, where you're kind of discovering what's important and what's not.
I love this. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. So what has been a book you read this past year you can't stop gushing about?
I just finished Recipe for Persuasion, Sonali Dev's, which I absolutely loved. I thought it was, I mean, I am a huge Jane Austen fan, but Persuasion has always been my kind of, like, that's the one that I love the most. And I thought she did a great job of taking the story, which may not translate that well into modern times, and bringing it into modern times. And of course it had food in it, which I absolutely loved. And yes, you can't go wrong with food. Another one that I liked recently is the Mia Sosa's The Worst Best Man.
Yeah.
I thought that was excellent. I loved the main character in that one. I think she was my favorite heroine I'd read in a long time. And then I absolutely loved Farah Roshan's The Boyfriend Project, which again, a fantastic main character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned strong heroines, you know, interesting combination of, like, you know, Farah's, like, friendships, strong friendships, you know, Mia's great Brazilian food, you know.
Totally, yeah. They're well-rounded characters that are created. And it's interesting that thing that you said about friendships, that's something that I'm always drawn to too, where there's a close friend group or even families. One of the things I absolutely love about Sonali's book is that her friend group are her cousins. And to me, that rings really true for South Asian stories. Our cousins are like our cousins are like our siblings. They're like a cross between a sibling and friend. And because our families are so close, that bond is so familiar to me, and it's not something I see a lot in other books. So I love that cousin relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love this. Tell us where you can find you online.
I'm on Twitter, Farah Heron, Instagram, Farah Heron Author. Facebook, I don't really do much, but I have a reader group with two of my Canadian rom-com pals, Jackie Lau and Jenny Holiday. So we have a reader group together called Northern Heat. And then I've just got onto TikTok. I'm my kids tell me I might be too old, but I'm trying to be relevant there, but it's Farah Heron Author.
I love this. Thank you, Farah, for being on the show.
Oh, no problem. I had fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatreadnextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTORead10 to save. Visit whatreadnextblog.com/QueenBeeReads. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.